thank you very much for joining us. And, I've got pens for anybody that doesn't have a pen. I've always had a pen that's been bored before, but I'll make sure to get this one before I thought I had them in my pocket. But yeah. Anyway, welcome to Moab. Weather's perfect. The golf course is looking good. And if you need something to do this weekend, we've got the Celtic Festival. So put on your whatever those kilts are. And there's also a folk festival too this weekend too. But anyway, it's always a pleasure to have you here. Thank you very much for joining us. And hope your time here is pleasurable and very productive. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you, Mayor. We always very much enjoy being here, especially at the Red Cliff Lodge and the City of Moab. We're always so gracious and kind to us. If you did not sign in, if you arrived a little bit earlier, perhaps you didn't see the sign-in sheet. It's at the back door. It's important that we have a record of everyone who's here, so please make sure you sign in. At this point, we'll turn time over to our fund manager, Tim Snowden, for greetings.
Good morning. This is the first meeting of fiscal year, the second trimester of fiscal year 2017. So you will be discussing new projects. There will be 8 of them, as you will see in yellow 1-1-1. 8 new projects. There will be one supplemental that was indicated on that list. But that supplemental has been postponed. They're gathering further information before they present the board. And one request for special consideration. Special consideration requires a vote of the board to hear. On 1-1-2, you'll notice the various balancers that you have to work with today. Those end numbers indicate what the amount would be if you funded everything as requested. So if you were to proceed with all applications as requested, there would be almost $6 million deficit in the Middle East and $11 million to the clubs in bonus. So
we're talking about through the quarter.
Through February.
Yeah, through February.
Going to the red folder, you have items in the red folder to support this meeting. The yellow sheet is the revised San Juan Spanish Valley cost model. It's a static cost model. This is an updated amount. What it does include is 268 connections. You were also emailed this, I believe. If not, here's your hard copy for reference for San Juan Spanish Valley. The little white thing was of interest, but it is interesting to know that how taxes have gone up, it will affect some of our applicants. Especially of note, there were 2 items in here. East Carver Sunnyside really had hit, and Cedar View Montwell Special Services. Taxes also went up. That's just FYI, it has nothing to do with the meeting. We will be in discussion at the end of the meeting, board member discussion, for providing electronic meeting agendas and board packages. That's for Blue Sheet, that will support that. You were emailed the 2 rural planning group reviews for Bryan Head and Hurricane City, but there are hard copies of them. And lastly, the lavender sheet, which indicates the future meeting dates through June. You'll notice that the June meeting, usually the policy retreat, is usually the second Thursday. This year it will be in the normal course of actions. It will be the first Thursday of June. First and second. So put your calendars together and there's the meeting dates. I'll show you the legislative report for FY 2016, just for your information. It will also be online. We scanned it and put it online. New project. Helper City is coming to the board on this agenda. They're requesting a $20,000 grant for a new police vehicle. It's a four-door all-wheel drive Ford. This is for the purchase of the vehicle as well as the equipment. They have $15,000 in cash also. Providing the applicant is requesting for spending funds. Number two, Moab City. It's a new road utility corridor. This is a new egress off of Highway 191 as well as a road corridor to a plot of land for future development for a new, I believe it's a U.S. They're asking for a $1,463,241 grant. This is phase one, all inclusive. The applicant is providing $450,000 in cash. USU is contributing an amount of $1,173,988. That's for 990,000 in land and 183,000 in the plan for this project. On page 3-2-37 of this application, the bid was for $2,678,242. The applicant is requesting $3,852,229. My question would be, what is the discrepancy between the bid and the request? Number three, Castle Valley Special Service District Consolidated Capital Improvement List, a capital improvement project for 2017. This is the annual permission, which accommodates 8 towns in Emory County that are all consolidated under this special service district. A reminder to the board, they have a geo bond system where they take out an amount of general obligation bond, and then through the years subsequently, they accommodate repairs in those 8 towns. Their request is $1,519,000 total CID, $900,000 each year, 2.5% loan, and a $619,000 grant. Number four, San Juan, Spanish Valley. Also with that, there is a white paper that was also loosely handed to your various locations. That will have number 3-3-8 on it. That is a revised static cost model for one of the projects in this consolidated capital. Castle Valley Special Service District. Number four, San Juan Spanish Valley Water and Sewer Special Service District. This is for a new sewer system. The current San Juan Spanish Valley system is all separate. This will accommodate growth. We've been in discussions with Division of Water Quality. The board also authorized the water system in last trimester's meetings. This is for the sewer system portion of that. Their request was $2,500,000 total CID. Of that, it was broken into a $500,000 30-year 0% loan request and $2 million grant. The yellow sheet, the yellow cost model that was handed out, this is a revised. The Division of Water Quality has already met. Their board has already authorized a $986,000 loan, 30-year at 0%, and a $1,547,000 grant, and a design advance of $220,000. To the board, we've been in discussions with the board, could change that funding package from CID. The estimated cost of sewer service is the bottom section of the yellow sheet, and And if you would accommodate that with a long portion that will bear interest, you can take it out of the other pot. So, to be kind of the same funding package, that bottom line indicates a similar funding package. The 958,000 loan and 1,537 grant. Town of Mayfield, number 5. They have 15,000 cash, so 50% cash match for a general plan update, which is for growth and development, user usable land, and a legal general plan. On 3-5-2A, the RPP indicates, and this is the regional planning program person, indicates concurrence that this is a good project. The costs on 3-5-10 are what has been the bid for making this general plan for the town of Mayfield. Number 6, town of Bryanhead, storm drain master plan. They have 27,500 in applicant cash. 27,500 is the request of GID. This is also a necessary project. It's for a storm drainage master plan. CID has provided some infrastructure improvements to Bryanhead. They want a storm drainage master plan in order to accommodate rainwater and heavy water flows that may, you know, damage their infrastructure, but with the right plan implemented, which they will be provided in the study, they will accommodate the mitigation of any flooding issues. This isn't the project, this is just the plan. Hurricane City, number 7, transportation master plan. They're requesting a $50,000 grant. They have Dixie MPO, which is a source of funding that Five County AOG has available, and it's for, they are providing $50,000 for this match, but Hurricane City is also providing $4,000 in cash. This will update trails and auto, public, cycling, pedestrian. This also has to do with the RPG review that was mailed to you and the yellow one in your package. Number 8, the 6 County Infrastructure Coalition. This project has been postponed. They requested to be heard at a later date. We'll wait to see when that project is brought back to the board. It is anticipated to come back perhaps in December. The supplemental request from Wellington City has also requested to be placed on a later date. There were bids and items that the Division of Drinking Water had requested from them in order to do a review. So that is being accommodated, and they are not on this agenda here. The final project is a request for special consideration. Roosevelt City, this is a change in scope. Back in a while ago, the board authorized funding for Roosevelt City to do some water system improvements. It was in tandem with Neola Waterline replacement, and this is the project that the board said wants to work together and put in the same corridor. They have funding left over. The original amount was a $4,850,000 grant and a $500,000 loan, 15 year at zero. They are now requesting to use a remaining balance from that project to accommodate the West Cove tank water line, which will hook that the Victory pipeline into their water tank and provide water that is imminent. So that's their request, to use the remaining $330,817 for that purpose. So it's a change of scope, and the board can authorize that.
again, we appreciate you and your staff for the great work that you do. Just a few more comments. As Candace pointed out, we continue to be in a situation financially where we have ample money to grant at, or excuse me, to loan with interest and money to grant or to go out at 0% interest is extremely tight. So as you prepare to come forward with your application, we ask you to make sure that your pencil is as sharp as it possibly can be and consider the option of perhaps taking more loan money than you would otherwise prefer. Again, it's just a simple reality that we do have plenty of money coming in as bonus money, which must go out at an interest rate, and mineral lease money, where we have the option of putting out a grant, 0% interest, or with interest, is very tight. Also, there's a number of planning applications on this agenda. Just for your information, we've invited the World Planning Group to do a presentation next month. They will be doing an annual review of their accomplishments and their objectives for the upcoming year. They have been focusing heavily and working very hard providing tools and resources for rural communities rather than focusing on individual community plans, preferring to leave that work to other entities. But again, they are working very hard to assist communities in better understanding the situation financially, with their infrastructure, operations, and all of those issues, so they can make sound decisions rather than, again, individual community focused on particular plans. So we look forward to next month hearing from them on what they've been doing more specifically and how they're planning to proceed. With that, how about them cups? Greg, is that okay? It was a great series. This week is great to be an American. Next week, man. like to excuse Mr. Fairway from the Attorney General's office. He was able to be with us this week. We're pleased to have Susan Eisenman from the Attorney General's office. Also, Commissioner Ron Winterton couldn't make it down. Obviously, his loss, as the sun is shining on us here. I'm sure the sun is shining in Duchesne as well, but it just doesn't seem that way sometimes. With that, we'll do board introductions. Gail, since you're sitting at the table, we'll start with you and work our way around to Commissioner Manson.
Johnson Hardy, House Mansion Community Development.
Bruce Adams, San Juan County Commissioner, representing Southeastern Utah AOG.
Steve Farrell, representing the Board of Water Resources.
Good morning, Mike McKee, UNA County Commission, representing UNA County. I want to say something on Ron, if I can, because he's not there. He wouldn't let me do this, but actually he is receiving a really nice award today from World Trade Center, promoting trade internationally and some things that he's been involved with. So, congratulations to Ron.
Indeed. Thank you for sharing that.
Jay Potter, Carbon County Commissioner, representing Carbon County.
David Amshin, State Treasurer, representing the people of Utah.
Thank you, Treasurer. My name is Keith Eaton. I'm with the Housing and Development Division, Chairman of the Board.
Candace Powers, Housing and Community Development, Mineral Lease Fund.
Representing Utah Commission.
Commissioner Tudor Hawkins, Bird County, representing the AOG.
Greg Galecki, representing Water Quality Board.
Jim Batson, Kane County Commission, representing the Five County Association of Governments.
And today we also have John Mackey and Beth Wandermoo from the Bureau of Environmental Quality because we have a few water quality projects and appreciate their fine work as well. Again, welcome all. We appreciate that you've made the effort to be here. I never feel like it's a burden to come to Moss, especially when the weather is so beautiful. And hopefully today's meeting is relatively short so that you can get out and, if nothing else, enjoy a nice drive home. It's supposed to be good weather throughout the state today. For the board members, there is a lunch served at the conclusion of the meeting, so if you can join us for that. Again, it's a beautiful setting here in the dining room. We hope that you have time to spend your stay an extra hour or so. At this point, we'll turn our attention to the minutes from the October 6th meeting. The board will entertain a motion to approve the corrections if necessary. So moved. Thank you, Senator.
I thought I had a couple of questions maybe before we approve.
Sure, just a second, Greg. So we have a motion from Treasurer Ganison, a second from Mr. Zanotti, and some questions on the motion or corrections from the administration.
On page 2-1-9, last paragraph, when it discusses the applicant gave that a $600,000 grant is matched by Carbon County, Duchesne County, and Midstream. Is that correct? Is that Midstream, or is this because it almost sounds like they're a part of putting up money, but is it in kind, or?
They did put up money.
Okay, so if you're comfortable with that, that's the only one. And that one sounds like.
Are you going to call your chair?
Yeah.
good for you.
2.1-10, first paragraph. The very last sentence, the last line, is it pipeline in exited disturbances or existing? Existed. I thought it was existing.
Do you want us to change it?
Yes, please.
For what it's worth, Mr. Blakeney, I have no idea what that means. Yeah.
The
fact that you understand it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Greg, you're wanting to change that from existing to existing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good you don't even have to deal with NEPA and if we do.
I'll call that a question.
Yeah.
Any other questions for the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Bilecki, and each of you board members for taking time to reach us. It could be that he's an Indian fan and he's nitpick everything.
Not that I'm Indian fan, that I'm not on that tough family. Now the socks in the different
way. Okay. I see how it is.
He's a contrary.
That's a good thing.
Our first project today is Helper City. We'd like to invite them forward. And if they can please introduce themselves, and each applicant who's come forward, please introduce yourselves to the record and then tell us a little bit about your project. Go to there. Yeah, we have some handheld microphones that you'll probably have to fiddle with a little bit, but hopefully those work. Yep, sounds good.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Eddie House. I'm here with Helper City.
I'm Chief Van Anderson. I'm with Helper City Police Department.
We are coming to the board to have an unfortunate situation where one of our patrol cars was totaled in Salt Lake City during while they were at training. Our insurance paid us $15,000 to accompany replace the car. Unfortunately, we don't have the remainder to purchase the vehicles. That's what we're here today for.
I guess to expand on that a little bit, when my officer was involved in the collision, at that exact moment, I was presenting to my city council a proposal to purchase a new vehicle. I received $20,000 from my council graciously, and that money was earmarked for a new patrol vehicle. At the exact moment, we were holding another one. So, unfortunately, we just don't have in our budget right now to purchase another patrol vehicle on top of the one we're getting.
I just have one question. It seems like, is that enough funding? I mean, is it certain covering us for the vehicle plus all the equipment that you need, and it doesn't seem like it's covered by $30,000?
So we stripped the equipment out of the old patrol vehicle, so a lot of that we can reuse. This patrol vehicle that got totaled was only 2 years old, which is pretty sad, but and it wasn't my officer's fault. It was the other driver's fault, of course. She was a little banged up, okay. It's transport her to the hospital. But yes, to answer your question, we're going to reuse all the equipment we can reuse for water.
Ms. McKee?
Yeah, just recognizing your budget's in the shape that's in, I guess what I would like to hope if we approve this would be, it's typical, I think, in cities and counties that I know in our county sheriff's department, we get vehicles that get damaged that seems like way too often. And we just have to have enough balance to try and work through that. Sounds like you're really not at that position right at the moment. So I would like to hope that if we approve this, you try and figure out a way. The other question I just had with this, what is your rotation? Do you have a, like in our county, we were on a 2-year rotation, we moved to a 3-year rotation. But you're getting pretty close to that already. I don't know what your rotation is. You would think that you would be almost the point of needing to buy them anyway, maybe. Because it was bought in 2013, or the money from the recording of the minutes was the 2013 when this vehicle was bought last time from CIV, right?
I don't recall the last time we came in.
Of course,
2006, I believe.
The minutes said 2013, I thought.
No, it was, I think it was just 2013, and I believe we've been getting here.
So you have to be doing the project, so I'm part of it, I guess.
To answer your question, we drive our vehicles in the ground. This vehicle, the 2-year-old vehicle that we replaced it with was a 2006 vehicle.
It kind of looks like we're on the front page list, but probably the last time they were for vehicle in 2006.
Maybe.
That's probably that.
So that vehicle was, it cost you $48,792 in 2006.
There were more than one.
Huh?
There was more than one.
Oh, there was more than one.
There was actually four. There was actually four that we purchased with a combination of grant money.
Okay.
Mr. Potter, or Fager Nancy, go ahead.
Well, I just have a quick question, Mr. Chair. So does the city have some form of a repair replacement fund that is just part of its regular budget so that it's anticipating the next time this will happen again? In anticipation of the next time, in terms of setting aside for future contingency?
Yes, when we put the budget together, we will put the equipment as you do for this in case it's happening.
Did you have?
I was just going to say, if we're ready for a motion, I'd make a motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Potter, a second by Mr. Blayton. Any further discussion on the motion?
I'm just thinking about
Mr. Potter.
Is it Potter?
That
was extra
strong. Oh,
is
it here?
Oh, sorry. The voice on the channel.
The voice gets to the ear passion, the voice, the island watching this fast.
Think about Mr. Galecki taunting Mr. Ogden out of the corner of your eye. He's a contrarian.
Commissioner McKee.
This may be separate, but I'm just reading on 3-1-12. It says, help the city request an emergency fund to increase impact work and purchase a new vehicle. In 2013, help the city was fortunate to secure funding to purchase a new police vehicle and related emergency equipment. So that's where that came from.
Right.
So I don't know, that's what's in the minutes. So
can you tell us where the funding in 2013 came from?
It was a grant that we got from the USDA.
Any further comments on the motion? I have a question. Mr. Zanotti, please.
So the city is owning insurance policy. What do they do in case of the transmission from the other party? Do you have a policy that covers that?
It's through the Utah Local Government's Trust Insurance. I don't believe that the gal that hit her had insurance. So I think we're just eating it.
Quick question.
Mr. Chairman, too, they were also asking for suspending.
Yes.
That was suspended funding motion, correct?
Yes.
Seeing no further questions, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Stay safely, gentlemen.
Thank you.
We'll invite Moab City to come forward.
Good morning again. Well, I've got to tell you, I broke my own rule. I dressed up today for it. So I'd like to thank you for seeing us today. This is the first time that the city of Moab has been met before this board in 7 years. The last time we were here was for a swimming pool, and he's on a mission.
Gordon.
Yeah, Gordon told us, looked out and said, I don't want to see you back here again for quite some time. So 7 years, hopefully, that's long enough. At any rate, thank you for having us and the opportunity to present our proposal to you. The project that's before you this day is a work in progress. We've been working on this thing for about one heck of a long time. It's been in the works for quite a while. It's a cooperative project and a true community project with many partners. We've got Grand County. I'd like to introduce Elizabeth Tubbs, who is the chairman of the Grand County Council. She's here with us. Dean Steve Fox is in the audience. Our interim city manager, David Everett, is here, as well as our community service director. And we have the private sector here, Mr. Mike Bynum, who is representing Diversified Partners, who is going to be one of the beneficiaries of this project. We also have UDOT that has helped in this, and the State Institutional Trust Lands. So, it's a multi-phase project that addresses many critical needs in our community, essential workforce training, and development through technical and higher education. It has an affordable housing component to it. There's employment opportunities through the private sector, as well as the other sectors that are involved here. And last but not least, it provides an economic diversification for our community and our area. I'd like to also say that this definitely has a benefit for San Diego County as well. So it's a regional project, and I think if we look at it in that aspect, it's a good thing for Southeast Utah. So what we're asking is a grant of 1,453,241 dollars. I'm almost out of breath. We're bringing to the table $975,000 through the county and the city. CIPLA has not committed the additional $225,000 as of yet. That has to go through their board first. So we're bringing almost half of the total project cost to the table. And I guess I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mayor. We'll go to the board for questions. Commissioner Keith.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, first of all, I commend you for the, I think, very innovative work that you've done. And I'm going to take just a minute on this because there's two or three things that I have here. But I know what education can do for a community. I know being able to get facilities up in Vernal made a huge difference, and particularly when you get downtime, I think education, opportunity to have educational facilities and enhancements that brings to the community is huge. I guess the point that I was, I'm thinking of our own situation up there. We had just didn't all come together at once, but we ended up with $6 million a donation for the land. We had a gentleman donated $15 million for one of our buildings. We had you know, at the end of the day, we had two buildings that were built that cost about $50 million. We got $500,000 grant from CIB that kind of helped facilitate that, help get that going. And then I think we had two loans that was for about another $1 million, as I recall. So I guess the thing that I would just state with this, as I read through that, it appears that you know, there's a pretty good piece in that that does have to do with economic development. It has to do with commercial and you know, other opportunities there. So I think to be kind of consistent with the places, I think it would be appropriate that some of this be put in a loan. So that would be my point that I would make to it. But I think it's a wonderful project. I commend you and the city and the county and everybody what you're doing, because I know what that does for community, because we have seen it firsthand, and I'd like to support you and help you have that happen.
Thank you.
Mr. Parker? Just in regards to the civil money, if those don't become available, then what?
You know, the past five years, the county and the city have been contributing to this fund. The city's put in $75,000 a year, and the county has put in an equal amount. So, you know, this is, like I said, this is something that we really strive for. And, you know, I'm confident in talking with Mr. Ure that at some point in time they'll kick in. But yeah, it's to their benefit, obviously.
It's huge benefit.
Yes.
It really is.
Yeah.
But a few dollars to make millions will be valuable.
You know, and what they're planning to do, they've invested already quite a bit of time and money in this project. They've set a master plan for the housing development there, which is really going to help as far as affordable housing and providing a workforce during our peak season. So,
the other question or comment that I had, and again, I seem to be the one that talks a lot about these engineering fees. We've got 18% in construction engineering. I would just encourage you, where you've got as much individual money and group money put together, that you really take a good hard look at that. I mean, this is again one of those that's 21% when it comes to the engineering.
Right.
And it is technical, but it is not,
it's not
putting a building.
It's not rocket science.
I'm just saying.
Senator Nansen? Mr. Chair, if I can get clarification, Mayor, Chairwoman, thank you for coming. The buildings, the facilities at the other end of this road, the funding is not yet secure for those facilities. Can you tell us more about that?
I would actually like to defer to Mr. Hawks on that, or Dean Hawks, if he would like to step forward. There is a plan.
Thank you. USC has put a lot of resources into the proposal of developing the campus. This project will literally pave the way to the campus. It's approximately an $8 million project. We've been watching very closely at other communities where USU has been able to build facilities. This is about an $8 million project on the USU side. We are looking at philanthropy, state funding. We already have almost half of the funding in place for the $8 million project. USU is absolutely committed to building a campus that will not only have higher education, but also workforce development, career and technical education, stackable credentials that will be very important to the community. So that piece is, we're aggressively pursuing that funding package so that we're ready to hit the ground as soon as this infrastructure is in place.
This is the key to the project. This is the keystone for the whole thing right here.
Commissioner Arnold?
Yes, I have a question regarding the UDOT access.
Yes.
And all of the other right-of-ways through these properties. Is that all in place?
Yes, it is. We've been working with UDOT. So we've got a small rural community grant for the $1.2 million for aligning the ingress egress and doing an alignment on Mill Creek Drive. So they've been involved in the process for sure.
And what about also the right-of-ways to the state land or the state lands?
Those have been secured to the best of my knowledge. private land, and federal land, yes.
Mr. Galecki?
I think the common theme is going to be that, you know, we acknowledge the importance of education and things that it does to this community. And being an alumni of Utah State, you know, on a tough situation, I guess some of the things that I struggle with is it comes in as a water and sewer project, and you know, these utilities, but it's only about $400,000, if I remember correctly, it's only about $400,000 for the project. And so a couple of things, because then we use the Magi and such, you know, to determine, you know, based on sewer costs. However, the majority of it isn't within that program. Plus, it also seems like we're provided a sheet that you're not probably did see, and as far as people on the board, 3.2.11 seems like your financial situation is, you know, is quite strong.
Yes.
Have you gone to water quality to try to fund that?
No.
Okay. So are we the first stop as far as funding is concerned? So I guess those are more statements than questions, so I just wanted to bring that to everybody's attention. It seems like it's also going to support a lot for the, you know, like you said, commercial stuff, in that at build out, it's going to provide, you know, quite a bit. It's not, so here's a question for you.
Okay.
Finally, so is it broken out anywhere in here that how much of it is, you know, building the other facilities, such as like the paving and how much is really needed right now? Part of me is, which the board hears a lot, is that we talk about paving projects, state
right.
road. I live in a spot that is on gravel road. We'd love to have it paved.
Yep.
And also had to bring in all my own utilities. And so I guess just here's the question. Have you looked at how much of it is for paving and curb and gutter stuff?
You know, I wish I could answer that question, but unfortunately I can't. I'm sure it's a substantial part of that cost.
We do have some estimates on page 33 through 37. I don't think those fully answer the questions either, Mr. Galecki, but they do give some indication of some of the breakout. Did you have further questions, Mr. Galecki, at this time?
I guess I'll make a motion.
Please.
I would, you know, based on it being a water quality project, and it is, and you're trying to get other sources of funding, I would propose a loan at 75%, 75% loan, 25% grant, and 20 years at 2.5%. And that's based on information on 3-2-11.
We have a motion to do a 75% loan, which would be $1,089,931, and a 25% grant, which would be $363,310, 20 years at 2.5%. Is there a second to that motion?
Sounds.
20 years. We have a second by Commissioner Matt. We had some questions over here still, so let's see, we'll start with Commissioner McKee, and then Commissioner Adams, and then Mr. Hartman.
Let me try a substitute motion, and I like Greg's motion. I mean, I appreciate the support of the project, but I'd like to maybe offer a substitute motion just because I know firsthand what a college can do for the community. I appreciate the CIB helping out our community up in Vernal. But But I do think to the point that Greg has made, you know, some of this, and it's hard to break it out. I couldn't figure out even how much is for what. It's really hard to break it out. But I would like to make a substantive motion that we grant 60% of this in a grant and the other 40% in 2.5% loan. And I did have an opportunity to live a little bit ahead of time, and I think you said that we could live with that. Is that correct?
Mr. Danson?
Mr. Chair, I just have a question and a concern. I put this great project, horrible time, with oil between $40 and $50 a barrel.
Okay.
Revenues to this fund are trickle, pun intended. So how do we fund grants of this scale? How do we cash that check? How can we afford that scale of grant? I can see we have a few small five-figure grants. Those are pretty easy to countenance, but how do we pay for a grant of this size? That's a concern that I have.
Appreciate the concern. We do have a motion. Do you have the numbers on the 60-40 split, Commissioner, because I don't have those.
I need it. I'd have to quickly.
Let's go to staff.
872 is 60%. 581, 241 is 40%.
That would be the motion. That was the number.
So I'll second.
And Commissioner Adams, you have the second on that. Mr. Hardy, did you have a question or comment on that?
I would be interested in hearing more about the affordable housing component of this. There's not just this, obviously you can have student housing. Is there more to it than that? Obviously you have a big affordable housing problem down here in Moab. So can you talk about quantity of units, what your target market is for that affordable housing?
Well, you know, basically, Wait, you have some information here.
I didn't know where you were coming.
Okay, thanks, Mayor. Troy Harrell, I'm with Project Manager Wasilla. Appreciate your time. Appreciate you being here. To answer some of your questions, I know initially there was a comment about our funding and our portion of this. Director Urie has committed to that. We certainly have an internal process that we have to go through to do that. And it's up to a final decision by our board, but we do fully expect that at some point in the near future they would be able to have this on their agenda and get that approved for our purposes. In regards to the affordable housing, Sibley Learning University has been partners on this project for many years. We have gone through several planning studies, et cetera, and how that would come to fruition. We're currently in the process of finalizing those master plans, and really it's just a matter of timing. It's a little bit, unfortunately, a chicken and egg thing. Once the infrastructure is up to the university and the university's buildings are committed and funded, then at that point we'll be able to secure a developer. It's kind of difficult for us right now to bring a developer on and have the housing in place prior to university. The reason for that is because we're really designing the housing primarily as student housing. That's the same goal of all the housing on our property will be for students first, and then secondary to be able to help with some of the affordable housing issues within the community. So hopefully that answers your questions, but we are actively working on that and moving towards developing that. The other item I'll just quickly mention is, as you were discussing some of the numbers, I apologize, I don't have all the numbers in front of me, but our engineering staff, we teamed up with the university and the city to develop the estimates and the preliminary design. Worked through a preliminary design of the roadway so that we could have the infrastructure all in place, and then basically put in the minimum surface improvements so that we would just, at that point, once the university was up and operational, and similar or other private entities were able to have development partners come online. Those development partners would pay from, you know, private development, the expansion and additional improvements that will be needed in the road and utilities. So that the utilities and the roadway that I believe this application is for are basically the bare minimum to serve the first phase of the campus. Hope that answers your questions. If you have any others, I'd be happy to help you.
you know, the board is going to continue to have heart-wrenching, great projects like this. And it comes out that it's not the value of the project, but how do you fund it, and how do you sharpen your pencil, or maybe do it in phases. But sometimes if the money's not quite how you want it, you have to get more creative to make it happen. And so, kind of.
Can you like comment on that? If we look at our sheet we have, and as I look at this, right now we're close. If everything was funded between now and February, we would have about a $6 million deficit. And that's if we funded everything as everybody is requesting. Even on this project, we would be cutting part of that out because someone can go to the bonus side if they have plenty of money. And that does not account for the money that we will be receiving between now and February, both in mineral lease money and in repayments on the loans we're getting. And so I know we get a lot less money than we used to.
We don't get any in new mineral lease. We get repayments.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying. The monthly payments that come in. The monthly payments that will be coming in will far exceed the amount of money that we're showing in this deficit today by then.
Historically, Commissioner, I believe that has been very true. In fact, I don't believe it. I know it to be a fact.
Sure.
Currently, the situation we're in is new mineral lease receipts are not coming into this fund. They're going to the transportation fund. So the only money we're getting in under mineral lease is coming from loans that we made out of the mineral lease fund, which historically have been very, very low because almost all of our loans have come out of the bonus fund. So our bonus fund, that's one of the reasons our bonus fund is doing well, because we made those hard decisions in the past and took made the applicant take loan rather than grant. And so I'm not sure
can I state
in the current environment that I should
Can I state a different way then? Because what's happening here, you know, is the money that we set aside for the project, that large infrastructure project, that's what we look down at the bottom here with $65 million.
Right.
And
right.
And because of the legislation, we're using different monies, and as we did in our last board meeting, there's a certain amount of money that we would have been getting in here, so we keep that fund hold. I know this is confusing to people, but the bottom line is, it turns out to be fixes, and the idea is that we're going to try and grow that fund with no money coming in, which that has not been our position, at least not in our last meeting. The actual $6 million of new projects, along with the repayment money, is really not.
Yes, it's going to have to come out of the infrastructure set aside.
Right. Because.
And that also comes at a cost because,
which I think has always been the intent, in fact, but we're not the intent. This board's not going to do very much business at all. So,
thank you. Point of clarification, Commissioner, and I'll go to you, Treasurer. Was that a 60% loan or a 60% grant?
The mayor had indicated that they could do that with a 40% loan.
40% loan, okay.
And so that was what the motion.
I had it the other way around.
Where did the $4 million come revenue-wise in October, Candace? It says we got $4,063,000 mineral lease revenue, 10/19/16. Where did that come
that
from?
That comes from payments and money.
Is it unlikely that we'll get another $4 million in the next
cycle?
Next cycle?
It's right now, Kimberly just handed this to me as we speak. We did get kind of a bump of mineral lease funds that came into the project, which have a lot to do with coal leases. Some coal leases were signed, so the lease always goes into the bonus fund. But the new mineral lease CID will get about 3.5 million. 3.2 will go to UDOT. So this doesn't accommodate loan payments. This just accommodates what comes in new. So in February, the board will be able to carve off at least 3.2 because we're doing it as it goes into UDOT, and we carve off that much out of infrastructure. So 3.2 million went to UDOT. So that's where that new money came from.
So again, I'm not sure I understood. What do you suspect or you project will be the mineral lease revenue?
Gosh, that'd be.
I mean, we got 4 million in October. When do we get that next payment? In February?
Every month. We get it every month, and it goes into UDOT, and in February we'll carve it back off. But we get payments every month, and the payments come back in, and that's where what that.
So that's the 4 million.
Well, yeah. can I add to that as well? Because there's an additional payment that the CIB will be seeing because sequestration funds continue to come out of the fund. And that's what about 7-8% of the last year's total funds that we should be seeing in
Did that already come in?
October.
I have
no,
not seen.
It has not.
Okay. What I don't have is the depository information yet, which would indicate if that bump is sequestration funding or
I guess what I'm trying to determine, Candace, is if we got 4 million revenue in October, and we're only minus in the negative 5.9 million, I'm in favor of erring on the side of the public rather than erring on the side of caution, because we can go in to the mineral lease fund, the infrastructure fund, which has 65 million, to help shore up what we're trying to do right now. So I appreciate David's concern. I appreciate everybody else's concern. But I'm telling you, this is absolutely critical to rural Utah, that they have access to some of this money to take care of their needs. This entity has worked for how many years, Dave?
10 years.
10 years on this project. They've secured nearly $2 million to do this project, and I think it's incumbent upon us to try and help them out. I fully support what Commissioner McKee has stated in the 60-40 grant loan mix. I think come February we'll figure out how to make it happen.
Okay, what is the difference between the 60-40, 70-25? Do we have a figure for that? The difference of those two loans?
Yeah.
See? Okay. Let me get there first.
We're utilizing the revenue sheet or the cost analysis sheet provided by RPG for the 75-25.
So we have that number, yes.
But for the 60-40, it would be 581,000 loans, 20 year at 2.5, and 872,241 grants.
I'm sorry, I think I can understand. I apologize.
Okay. 581,000 loans and 872,241 grants. The less than $1,000 increment has to go on the grant side.
And Mr. Galecki's motion was a loan of $1,089,000 and a grant of $363,000.
So that's the difference. What was the term?
20
years,
2.5.
Well,
the terms were the same,
right? 20 years. Mr. Chairman, I could use a mind clearing tutorial on this in December. This discussion, needs, I think, more tracking, so you better understand
where the money comes from.
Yeah, and how it works and how we function with that. So I'd like to request that. And it probably wouldn't hurt to have this, because I have a business on that December agenda.
Motion, but we, Mr. Hardy,
So, and I apologize because I have a little scarring. I hope nobody's here from Bountiful City. But we just went through this thing in the city where we had funds in the pocket, in the capital budget, and we decided it was burning a hole in it. We're going to build a new city hall, totally unnecessary from my point of view. And what really, I guess, gets under my skin a little bit, and I'm not saying anything in particular to this project, but overall it's a philosophy. There is an opportunity cost that we always have to consider. And even though we may have money available, and the mineral lease revenues may total enough by the time we get around to the funding rounds to justify doing grants, that doesn't always mean you should do grants, because you're always taking away that opportunity cost. And if an applicant is able to take a loan, we should be looking to give them a loan rather than a grant. I think that's a good financial prudent system to operate under. And it doesn't mean, again, I'm not speaking to any project in particular, but since we're having this philosophical discussion, I hope we would keep in mind that there's always an opportunity cost. If we have a huge influx of revenue, that doesn't mean we should just be granting that money out. It just means we can issue the money out, and loans is better than grants for the overall financial management of the state.
Treasurer Dempsey. Mr. Chair, I haven't seen a request that I don't like in my short time on this board. And I don't live in rural Utah, but I don't lack for a passion or commitment to rural Utah. And I wish that the politics of Utah legislature allowed for a more ample distribution of resources to rural Utah. I'm concerned that we have a fiduciary obligation to the totality of impacted areas that come over time, and I don't think I'll ever see a request I don't like, because I love the public servants that are out there working to develop these projects, and I would like to get a refresher from the chair or staff on this trend. We used to be more fiscally conservative in administering this fund. We used to do more loans and less grants, and we're turning into Santa Claus, and we're granting, and that has implications for the future, and we're doing it at a time when oil revenues are at an all-time low. And so, and the other, I have a little bit of a concern about this, our infrastructure fund balance. We're adding complexity, pardon me for saying Enron-esque, to the accounting, and it reminds me of the way the federal government does business. I'm sorry for saying that. This kind of reminds me of Social Security, how the federal government runs Social Security. We'll pass this without that. I think the more complex we make the accounting and the more little sub-funds we create, the easier it becomes to rationalize and lose that fiscally. I don't mind if we grant more. Let's stop calling ourselves fiscal conservatives. How's that? So I love the project, but I think we all recognize where we are in terms of the revenue picture. And if we do loans, we return funds back and we can recycle it. And the projects that we have presented 7 years from now, we're going to love those projects too. We'll actually have resources that we can deploy at that point in time in the future.
Mr. Zanotti, you've been quiet. Just talking about shit. The big quiet. Swallow. I have to say that. But this is the way I approach from my thinking every time I come to this meeting. If you get mesh today, you'll have an opportunity to get some more tomorrow. It is just that. The fund is not there. I have been here for almost a year now. And I see that projects coming. Some small communities, some large communities, some rural, some just people that maybe don't know that they deserve it. But unfortunately, we have limited sources and resources. And as you know, as a mayor, you know what to do. You have cut this corner, that corner, to make sure that some projects can be done. And our job as a public servant is the same, that we have to be careful, because there will be another 9 more projects right behind you. They're watching carefully. I'm pretty sure they're already changing the numbers. This is going to be favorable.
Too bad we had to be first.
That's just unfortunate part of it. But if you get less today, you will get some tomorrow, because you're going to come back. 6 years,
Or 7 years. Yeah. Or 10 years.
Okay, it won't be me.
You will be there, but we'll be right behind you. But that's just the way it is. So we are not trying to discourage you from doing this beautiful project. It is wonderful. It's worth it. It's just the best for the East community. I hope we all have the same opportunity.
And I appreciate that. But I look at this more as an investment rather than some fluff. It really is an investment in this community, in this region. So I would hope you would take that into consideration. And, you know, if it would be easier, I would how about 50-50?
That's how the applicants are making motions.
I'm just trying to help you along.
Commissioner McKee.
I just think I need to say one more thing. Because in Yuna County, you know, over 50% of mineral lease money comes out of my county. We track this very carefully. Appreciate Kimberly being here because she actually provides this information. We track this very carefully. But for September, the state share was $8,222,000, something like that. That's just on the mineral lease side, not the bonus side, right? So the month before, we actually got more. I am very confident because I've been having these conversations with Janet Stedman that we have not seen the sequestration money because that comes in somewhere after October 1. But if you look at that $65 million we have here in this account, that is complete set aside. That is not essentially what we're doing. We're trying to make up the $50 million that we had committed for the rail project. And so that's why this money is being taken out and we're not seeing it. And so what we're essentially doing is the money that we come in, that we're taking out, that we're playing this game on, we have that $65 million. So each month we can take a portion of that, and whatever we're bringing in, we can actually put back in this account. And so with $3-4 million a month coming in just on the mineral lease side, plus the dividends we're having come in, which we are told is more money than what we're getting in revenues right now. This board has funded well over $100 million in projects in years past. So to say that we're not going in and we have pre-funding cycles, not be able to come up with $6 million, that's just not accurate. I don't want to believe today a project on information that we're not fully understanding, because the money is there. If it's a project that's important to the board, we have the money to do this.
So I want to just add, in terms of the numbers that you have, I took those off the production report only. I don't have debt or deposit for the month. So I believe that is, in fact, all new money, not duplication. The project information will include then, because that's production information, that's simply new revenue generated on the production, obviously. And so my assumption is that on the project, that will include the amount that is that supervision. That's one thing I wanted to raise. The other is, on the flip side of that, in terms of being fiscally conservative, is that for Medicare, we hover in the grant range of about $4 million. Even when our revenues were rapidly increasing, in the last 2 years, we've hovered in the grant range of $55 to $75 million. So when we're looking long term, in terms of revenue coming back to this board, those big leaks, and since you're a little grant one, those big leaks are going to affect the board long term. Yes, we have cash reserves. Yes, it appears the mineral lease is picking up. And I don't want to support with you. I'm just trying to present the picture for how it's going to look in the next decade.
If I could take the chairman's prerogative at this time, I failed to announce this earlier, I was saving it for the end, it's a grand finale, but it seems more appropriate now to thank Ms. Snelling, because she is going to be changing positions. She's accepted a job with the Attorney General's office to be financial officer and office manager. I'm not sure what the exact title is, but it's a big one. So she will no longer be working directly with the Housing and Community Development Division or the Impact Board, and so perhaps it's appropriate that we're picking her mind clean at this meeting. So we do appreciate your 20 years of service, plus 20 plus years of service to this board,
It's been very valuable, and we are losing a lot, not only with her capability, but also the institutional knowledge. So, thank you, Senator. Let's see, we had Commissioner McKee, and then we'll go to Mr. Zanotti, and then Mr. Galecki.
Yeah, Mike, quick question.
Can I just finish this here real quick? So I guess the point that I would make, if everybody doesn't fully understand the sequestration, there's about, well, it used to be a little over 8%, but I think they changed a little bit. It's around 7%. And the federal government's fiscal year is October 1 to October 1. So all the mineral lease money that we have had over the past year, there's about a 7% capture that they've taken out. Federal government's kept, they've used the interest on it, and now they're spending it back. And they've done this the last 3 or 4 years since they started that sequestration program. So if you look at the total amount of that money over the past year, we're going to be receiving about a 7% dividend on top of that that's going to be coming in. So and then you add to the aspect of the, you know, the funds that we have. You know, the funding is not the issue. If we choose not to fund it, that's another issue. But I just don't want it to be because we're concerned that we don't have the funding.
Thank you, Mr. Zanotti.
Well, now that we have heard the true confession from the mayor and seek the peace in the family, I would like to make a motion to have 50 grand, 50 loans, 20 years at 2.5%.
And be a substitute to the substitute.
Yes, that's right.
Our favorite kind of motion.
I'm just trying to keep going.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm just trying to be a nice guy here.
So we have a motion for 50-50, 20 years, 2.5%.
Yes.
We have a second to that motion.
I'll second it.
Commissioner Potter is the second on that. Further discussion, Mr. Licking, you had a quick question?
Yeah, and just one question. So when it goes into the infrastructure fund or the set of size of fund, does that have to be loaned?
Yep.
Is it all loaned, or
the infrastructure fund came out of mineral leases, which is like a loan.
Okay, so grant loan. In my head, so that'd be so thick.
So now, Greg, you have 65 million to grant to everybody.
I know.
Further discussion on substitutes for substitute. In which case, I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, let's do those. Those kind of weak. So, show of hands for the record, those in favor of 50-50. Mr. Adams, Mr. Farrell, Commissioner McKee, Commissioner Potter, Mr. Zanotti, Commissioner Ogden, and Commissioner Masson. Those opposed to 50-50. Mr. Galecki, Treasurer Danson. Those abstaining, no abstentions. The motion carries 50-50, Mr. Thank you for enduring.
Thank you, and I'm sorry to cause all the confusion. And I'm amazed that you can keep all these numbers straight.
Mayor, before you go, though, last time we were here with the UDOT meeting, I got 10 raffle tickets to get this special edition Jeep Safari.
I'm so sorry. Mayor, for your information, that will be placed on the priority list for funding consideration.
Okay. Also, we put up a subject to funding from this CISA. That may be a little bit bad. It's a subject to. Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mayor. Again, thanks for the hospitality. Thank you, board members. This is a crucial conversation. It's very important.
I'm feeling all right. Jacob Sharp, Castle Office Service District Manager. Apologize for my voice. I'm the worst meeting being from Cleveland, Utah. I've got about 20 Cleveland Indian hats and jerseys for my kids over the years. So it was unfortunate for us last night.
project. Ours, I think the board is familiar with the process that we do. Merrill Dimension of Civil Engineering. But what I was speaking a little bit about what Ken said earlier, we operate off of a general obligation bond. The current bond that we're operating off of was approved in 2009 by our orders. It is a 10-year, $12.5 million general obligation bond. We have come here each year and incrementally ask for money using that general obligation bond. Currently, this would be our, if this was approved today, we would do the next two more years following this one, is what we have on our current general obligation bond. If we're to continue to do these types of projects, we would go back to our voters, obviously, to approve another general obligation bond that would happen in the year 2019. We work very closely with our public finance advisor, who's not here today, to structure the amount of the loans that we do to make it affordable for citizens as far as the taxes that we charge. And also, we can also try and keep those bond payments as level as we can so that the taxes each year aren't going up and down for our citizens. So that is where the amount of our loans and grants come from each year, trying to keep that payment level. I'd like to note that we, as Castle Valley Fiscal Service District, we repay to the Community Impact Board approximately $1.5 million each year. So I guess with that, open to questions.
Jacob, on behalf of the board, thank you for coming before us with a sharp pencil.
Yes.
I know it's in your name, but we appreciate it. One thing that as I was looking at this just real quickly is in the past, we've tried to stay right about where you're at on the 6-year deal. Sometimes we've gone out to 10. Is it possible to do 10 years at a 75-25 split where you're taking a little bit more loan, but we're stretching it out a few more years? You know, we pay it off earlier if that's just been a new bonding scheme. Your actual annual payment would be lower that way, and it helps us get a little bit more into our bonus funding where we do have the money. So just if that's at all possible, it would be still consideration. I think it would expedite things. If not, we can turn it over to the board for questions and negotiations.
I think it's definitely possible to look at. It's not a scenario that I looked at with our public finance advisor. I would also have to take it back to my board for approval. I'm sure we can, obviously I can do that.
And then we will place the project on the pending list for funding consideration.
That would be a 75-25. Another thing I was thinking, at one time we were doing 1.5% interest. We could do a little more loan, obviously, if we went to that 1.5% interest. As applied, about 2.5%.
Let's go to Treasurer Danson.
Just a quick comment. That was my comment, Mr. Chair, that 2.5% is arbitrary. In this rate environment, we have muted inflation. If you're a AAA bond issuer and you're going out 7 to 10 years, 1.5% is kind of what you're looking at, you know, in a shorter amortization. Our concern, as we discussed, is return of capital back into the fund for the future for other projects with merit. And I think we should not be stuck in our thinking about 2.5%. And so if we can contemplate 1.5% as an interest rate, and try to stack this in the direction of a loan, that would certainly be my recommendation in very general terms. I don't want to suggest a specific breakdown, but I just want to throw that up for the board's consideration.
Okay. Let's look at the sheet on 3310. If we went 1.5% 10 years, your annual payment is pretty level. It goes up $1,000 from 163 to 164. So that keeps your annual payment fairly level. Stretch out the term a few more years, bring the interest rate down. Mr. Conley, you have a question.
Do you have a discussion after I come in to ask my question elsewhere?
Mr. Matson.
Based on your comment, what's the utility of 2.5% to this point forward then?
No.
There's the Federal Reserve, what we're looking at in terms of growth funds and things of that nature. Are we actually closer to 1.5?
There is likelihood, I think, that Fed funds, which is very short money, will probably, I think we'll probably see some tightening before year end. Certainly going into 17, we'll see some tightening, but that's short end. When we're talking about long financing, we're really trying to tie to economic growth, long-term economic growth, and there's little to no catalyst for any strength in economic growth out there on the horizon. And so I have a comfort level of 1.5%, particularly when the issue to me is a simple loan versus grant issue, and if we can make it more affordable for the citizens with that low interest rate and make a provision for the future by accounting for payment on a loan rather than making a grant. I think it's prudent to back off on the interest rate and come off 2.5 to 1.5 in situations like this.
But all loan, right? All loan. That'd be 1.5%. The number that I give you will
1.5%.
10 years. But that was 10 years.
For 10 years, yeah, 10 years, 100% loan.
And your payment goes up by $1,000.
If you paid it 6 years, it would go, your annual payment would increase to $262,692.
Obviously, I don't make motions. Would it be possible if I was able to work with my public finance advisor and Canvas, take a look at where we keep some grant money and look for these projects? I think we do have some 10-year loans and even longer. We're doing a new water treatment plant, new installation, new building.
Gail, could you call that Jeannie down to the microphone, Jack?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Is it Jacob's attacking us
or the microphone?
Anyway, if we looked at a few different scenarios, and maybe we could present that later, February, rather than just, I don't know, I'd rather not say 10 years on these projects, even if it's 7 or 8 years, something different, and maybe look at keeping some of the grant money.
So procedurally, what happens if we said, it goes on the pending list, that 10 year, 100% loan at 1.5%, and that you negotiate, and then he came up with something else.
Right, at the funding meeting, then he could come back and say, I appreciate the offer, here's what we can do.
Yeah.
And then take it earlier. Right? Okay. So if someone would like to make a motion, then that gives us something concrete to work with, right?
I'll make that motion. We put that together. It was 10 years. 100% loan, 1.5.
I'll second that.
We have a motion from Commissioner Ogden and a second from Treasurer Gamson. Any further discussion?
I would like to do a substitute motion anyway. And basically what goes to try to make this a little bit easier, but I would just simply make a motion that we give them a couple, 200,000 grant, and the rest of that in the 1.5%. Very long, and I'm not sure about 8 or 9 years or so that keeps them with a payment that just doesn't increase the payment. Might take a little bit to figure what that year payment would be, but as a substitute, anybody feels inclined to.
So I'm trying to get a $200,000 grant. So a 1.319 loan, 1.5%, 10 years.
140.
Second to that, substitute.
Second.
And second by Moussa. Further discussion on the substitute motion?
I guess either one, if they can't work it out, they.
Right.
They
That motion fails. We're back to the original motion, which to restate the original motion was 10-year, 100% loan, 1.5%. All in favor of that motion?
And that's what the understanding they can work it out.
And they can come back at the funding meeting. And so all in favor of that motion?
Aye.
So hands, please. We have Galecki, Ogden, Hampton, Potter, McKee, Farrell.
Change
of mind. And so that motion carries. So that will be placed on the prioritization list for February funding meeting. And so again, sharpen the pencil, go to your board, make that work, and if not, we'll talk.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Just while we're here, I appreciate that the friends are here of your funding. Said about interest rates, but the only concern I have there is, yes, when it comes to lending and this type of a situation, I think it's very merited. But again, as a board member, I would hate to see us set that as the new standard, because there are going to be projects that come in that do need to take loans and do need to take 2.5 or higher into the future.
Appreciate that comment.
Yeah, maybe it's. This is a shorter term loan. A lot of these ones that we're doing are 20 years.
And it's an impacted area.
We need to find ways to return capital back to the fund that makes it easier for us to stomach by reducing that interest rate. I think that's the way I'm thinking about it, is a low or no interest rate loan is a grant alternative. And it's our way of responsibly and prudently providing for the future and not just giving away the farm here in the short term at a time when revenues are crimped as they are.
Excellent conversation. I think it's the right direction to be moving in. I'm going to call for a break at this point. Check out, I believe, is at 11. They charge you if you're late, so I want to make sure that if you are checking out, you have that opportunity. We'll reconvene at 10:15.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kelly.
Thank you, Chief, and the board for having us here. It's sure my wife and kids sure thank you for not having to drive us all the way this time. We appreciate it. I'm Kelly Pearson, San Juan County Administrator.
I'm Mike Byron, San Juan resident, and I'm a member of the San Juan Special Service District.
And Ryan Jolly with Gilman the Valentine.
Well, thank you for this time today. This is the first opportunity I've had to see a meeting of the Community Impact Board, and I will say honestly, I've been extremely impressed with the thoughtfulness that goes into what you have to do. And with the consideration of the needs of what we refer to as House Annie Spout, which is really the San Juan portion. When I grew up in the lab, it was known as Poverty Flat, and to some extent, that is still what it is. By that I mean there's no commercial business out there. It's really modest homes. It's really the service and working with people who go into Moab for mechanics, teachers, officers, that sort of thing. So one of the things that you will notice in the request, first of all, I have a lot of interest in listening to prior discussions. We are discussing an 80-20 split between grant and loan. I would point out to you, if you look on page 2 of the application, the $700,000 that's mentioned there is really a loan or funds that will be provided by San Juan County for homeowners to be able to afford to hook into a new water and sewer system, municipalities, so that they have culinary water, they have a rural sewer system that's not impacting the aquifer or the wells that are out there. And the plan will be to allow those people a period of time to pay back that money, because the truth is, you're dealing with an area of the county in which there is not a lot of wealth. There are modest homes, modest people, and modest workers who very much need the help of this board in being able to hook up to the city sewer and have the water system that's so important to all of them. There is another kind of similar event happening, which is there's actual cooperation between the city of Moab, Grand County, and San Juan County. In my memory, this is a first, but a much needed first, one that's very important for the citizens of, if you will, Poverty Flats. So we really think that in listening to your discussion, when you consider the people that need the type of grant money, this is one of those situations so that we can join with Grand County, we can join with Moab, and participate in this important thing for the health and welfare of the communities of South, the South Valley. So we appreciate your consideration of this request. Thank you.
The only thing I want to add too is, you know, I feel like we have followed all the steps. Thanks to this board and thanks to water quality, we started out with a study for the sewer system. We went to water, division of drinking water, and for the water funding, and thanks for those that funding. We've now gone to water quality and had them help us with the sewer project. And now we're coming to you to help us with the other half of the sewer project. We've done all we can to find other sources of funding. All the right steps. And looking at Candace's analysis of what she did on hookups, she took about, I think she took 260 hookups. We currently, 268 hookups as an average over the whole period of growth on that. We currently only have 230 citizens that wreck our homes in that Spanish Valley. So even if we funded what we request, $2 million grand, 500,000, our Magi is at 1.65, where the recommended affordable Magi is at 1.4. So we're still already taking above the affordable amount. So if you match what water quality is, your Magi continues to go up. So obviously, the more loan you take, the rates go up, and again, the citizens' family salary will be affected by it. So we appreciate your time and anything that you could allow.
Kelly, is the county going to require or mandate that the residents connect to the sewer?
Water quality, in fact, has even in their funding, require anyone within 300 feet for the bond council.
So the bond condition will require that the district has an ordinance that has a connection requirement. 300 feet is what the state statute allows.
And who is funding your loan program, since there's a lot of low-income residents there that can't afford those connections? Who is funding that loan program that you mentioned?
That will be Sangamon County itself.
Yeah. You can go flush with
that. Yeah, I wish.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to the board at this point for questions.
Do you mind the water quality?
I wanted to make one quick correction on page 2. It refers to the state grant for the Division of Drinking Water. In paragraph G, it said should be water quality. So I respectfully request that in our remediation. It's not drinking water, it's water quality. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for the board?
Not so much a question of the project, but just looking at the application itself, I would make one suggestion in including this, and that would be as far as the amount of money, but I would, on the loan portion, if we could make that at a, whether it's a 2.5% or 1.5% interest loan, that would take $500,000 out of that other fund. Again, that would help us in that, and I think it would still be something that they should be able to work with. And so that would be my only suggestion. I think it's a needed project. I think it's something that would be valuable to them. I would just simply suggest and make that adjustment.
Is that a form of a motion?
It would be.
Second. So we have a motion from Commissioner McKee and a second from Commissioner Madsen that we do a 500,000 30-year, 2.5% loan, and a $2 million grant. Discussion on the motion or questions on the project?
I guess I have some questions.
Mr. Galecki, please.
So there's, you speak about growth and such, you know, 330 connections. I guess that's a couple questions. I'm sorry. So when it is within 300 feet of the existing system, is the majority of people going, is it going to be a county requirement that they need to hook up, or is everything within 300 feet that they'll hook up?
I think all of them are within 300 feet.
All
yeah.
300 feet. Okay. And then I know, like with water quality, we did a 50-50 pretty close. Are there creative ways to work with it? Like, let's say we, because you have to, the numbers of the Magi are based on the current hookups, right? Is there a way that we could, like, the first payment on the loans, or, what I'm trying to do is see if there's a creative funding package that we can put together that you can take more loans out. I guess that's almost a question to John, or when you got.
So let me add one more item to this. One thing that's not included in the payment presented under water quality, and this was just an oversight, we have to pay approximately $10 every month, every user on this system to Moab and Grand Water and Sewer for connecting to their systems. So one of the things that, the way they calculate it out is that $37 is what they can afford every month. We're actually going to be paying $47 that's the reason for the super high magic level right now. And, you know, I guess we'll let John talk about the graduated, how water quality is funding their portion of it. Well, in response to Mr. Galanis' question, what water quality is, we use the graduated schedule. It took into account growth, an estimated 2% growth, so that loan repayments could be increased as new units are added. So it keeps the payments low up front and basically backloads the project. But in the end, you have some 300 units that are able to make payments on a loan. So up front, you can take a larger loan. That's where we went from about a $600,000 loan as affordable up to where we ended up at, on our side, $968,000, I believe. And in our case, it was 30 years 0% with the balance being written. 1.457, 1.457, I believe, was the grand amount.
986 0% loan, and 1,547 grant with a design advance of 200,000.
Right, which is part of the loan. You repay when the loan is closed. That's included in that loan amount.
Mr. Hanson? Mr. Chair, I'd like to propose a substitute motion that we consider a $1.75 million grant and a $750,000 loan. 0%. 0%.
Well,
I'll second that.
Can I speak to the motion?
Please,
Mr. The reason that I would prefer the other side to that, the original motion. Again, what that does, it helps us with the money that we have available, because that $500,000, if we put that in 2.5% interest, could come out of the fund that we need it. It would kind of help balance our fund better. And so I think it's better for us financially.
Treasurer Nansen, would you consider adding some interest to that motion?
Sure. Steve?
Oh, sorry.
Maybe David, look at 3.4-9. It gives you four or five different options on that page, that table.
Okay.
And depending on which interest rate you were looking at, it divides up the loan and the grant. And I think that's what Mike's speaking to, is we want to get some of that in grant, in loan with interest. I'm just offering that as a possibility. If you're looking at the possibility of loan with interest, there's an option there for grant and loan mix.
If I may, Commissioner, just to point out that is based on a graduated schedule. So,
right.
You can still work it out that way, that the numbers would be a little different, but this data does reflect that if you want to provide the same total amount of money and slide between grant and loan.
I'm just saying that David's motion was 1.7 or something.
Right.
If you did 2%, you could actually go 693 in loan and 1.8 in, or even 1%.
Is that a too close, Commissioner?
No.
Too close to home, isn't it?
I'd rather have somebody else make
the
motion.
I agree.
I really would.
Mr. Hardy, you have comments?
Yeah, just a comment on the, Commissioner McKee brought this up about trying to maintain the flexibility of the mineral lease fund, and that's the reason to add the interest rate to take it out of the bonus account. But at the same time, we always treat the mineral lease account as our grant account, we're going to lose flexibility over time. We need to get some reason in that. So even some 0% stuff out of the mineral lease, I mean, we were just talking about how we're anticipating the mineral lease revenue plus the repayments out of that mineral lease account is what's sustaining us. And if we only do grants out of that mineral lease account, we're going to lose that flexibility from a portion of that. So I don't think we should be totally opposed if we can find 0% stuff to fund it out of the mineral lease account, because it does return money. It does add to our flexibility in the future. That if we only do it out of the bonus account, we're always going to be doing loans at interest rate. And, we just kind of have to find that balance. So I just wanted to bring that up.
Believe it or not, I'm conflicted too. I live in Davis County, and we don't do a lot with Davis County, but I do chair the Utah Mountain Trust Fund. And with all respect and appreciation for everyone else around the table, if I have a rural county that has a special place in my heart, it's San Juan, for sure. I spent a lot of time there. And
you tell us the story.
Appreciate the needs. And
anytime we do anything from San Juan, I tell the story. So he's trying to pass that on to you, David.
I'll tell a story. Well, the first time I went down there, I spent 2 days on the reservation, and I saw a lot of folks living out of 20-year-old trailer homes with their water from a 50-gallon tank and no electricity on the reservation. And I know we're not talking reservation here. I know there's some different points on that spectrum in San Juan County, but it's a huge county with very significant infrastructure needs. And I guess that's not much of a story.
But it's all true.
I'm down there on the ground, and I have a deep appreciation for the needs there in that county.
Thank you.
Keith, can I just make one other point?
Please,
Commissioner. Just, again, referring back to our chart we have, this is on the... I wish it had a number to it, but in which it's our financial statement at the beginning. As we would be on 10/19, what this is showing is a deficit of $5.9 million to nearly $6 million. And on the bonus account, we have $8,282,925 in positive. So in my opinion, there is some value of moving that to that account. I do understand the point that's being made, but if the very point that staff is making at the beginning of the meeting is to value to move what we can out of that account. So that was the basis of my original motion of the simply taking that from the, instead of 0%, if we put that to 2.5%, that helps us $500,000 there on each side. And from my point of view, I think they need the help on it. That's what we're about to try and help this community, and I think. So I'm just speaking to my original motion.
So the substitute motion is stated as stated? Mr. Perry?
Yes.
Okay. So we have a substitute motion, $1.75 million grant, $750 million loan, 0% interest. Any further discussion?
How many years? 30 years.
30. Okay. All in favor of the substitute, show of hands.
All right. Second on the motion, though?
Yeah.
Yes, there was. Okay. It was Greg Leggy.
All right.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Dunn. You have some orders. Okay, all in favor, show of hands. Mr. Leggy, Mr. Rogers, Mr. Davidson, Mr. Coleman, Mr. Farrell, Mr. Adams.
Pass.
That motion passes. All those opposed? Mr. Zanotti. Invite the town of Mayfield.
Good morning, I'm John Christensen, the mayor of
HR had 4 or 5 new homes being built, and as a result, there's also been a lot of good business that's been looking at coming into Bingsville that's created some, well, for us to take a look at our zoning and thus our plan. Historically, when the zoning ordinance was adopted in Bingsville, they actually made one zone, and so there was never any business here designated for zone for business, and that's created some little conflict in town, and trying to operate with conditional use permits is not the best way to go. And as part of that, the general plan, they're operating with it for a while, actually isn't complete, and we've had to meet. Looking at that and looking at changing our zoning ordinance, and as a result, we realized the need we have to get our general plan into a workable document so that we're basing some of these decisions on what the community wants in our future, which as we all know, general plan and ordinances and there is the way we grow should be based on some long-term plan. And so that's the need we have. We contacted the Shannon and her office to help us with the application process and help subdivide the plan. We have $15,000 that we contribute. We're asking the board here for $15,000.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mm-hmm. Questions from the board?
I'd move approval, please.
I'll second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Matheson and a second from Councilman Farrell to approve. Any further discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
That sounds unanimous. Any opposed?
No, I just ask a question.
Your name?
Is your present zoning just farming?
Well, farming and for residents, actually, there's a lot of them work in prison in Johnson, and there are a lot of school teachers there and farmers. And actually, a lot of the new people coming in are retired from farming.
So, well, thank you. That'll be placed on the priority list for funding and so forth.
Appreciate it.
Town of Bryan Head.
I'm Brett Hauser, the town manager for Brian Hills, Cecilia Johnson, our town treasurer. Just real quick background for anybody who might not be real familiar with Brian Head. We're a small resort town, mountain resort town at 10,000 foot elevation in the mountains of Cedar City. We have a ski resort there, and that's kind of our primary economic driver, and a little bit of tourism, hiking, biking, sort of tourism in the summer as well. Primarily skiing. But being a mountain town, we've got the spring runoffs to deal with and the summer monsoons and that sort of thing. We sort of have a preponderance of dirt roads and trails and this sort of thing. It's kind of infrastructure that a lot of times the stormwater can create quite a bit of problems. Some problems with that. We're constantly battling with erosion shoulders and roads and flooded roads and occasional flooded basements, that sort of thing. We've never had a storm drain master plan in the past. Typically our public works department just kind of deals with issues one at a time, and often the solutions for these issues tend to just create further issues down down the path, you know, of the water. So, so that's kind of how we generally roll in rural Utah, you know, is try to deal with it best you can, update and possible to fix that kind of thing. So, we're hoping to get a little bit more sophisticated with it. It's always been in the back of our minds that we'd like to have a storm drain master plan that we can implement, but it's come to the forefront more recently, largely due to the existence of our streets master plan, our transportation master plan, which is actually funded by the, well, I guess it was funded in kind by the Community Impact Board a couple of years ago. So that transportation master plan was completed for us, and we were, we took it and we were able to fund that master plan. We kind of scoured through our budget and we were able to piece together a couple hundred thousand dollars of annual set aside to come basically from our property tax and sales tax to be able to implement the streets master plan. We did the first project of that streets master plan just this past summer. We were working on the project, so we realized, boy, wouldn't it be nice if we had a storm drain master plan that we could actually be implementing concurrently with the streets projects. So it's kind of moved up on our priority list, and I guess what our hope would be is that we'd be able to get the master plan done just as soon as possible, and then in our budget process do. You know, be able to carve out the funds to implement that master plan, whatever annual set aside we would need, which I don't know that number yet, obviously, until we have a master plan. And then be able to, I mean, in the perfect world, be able to implement for the first of those storm drain projects concurrently with our next street reconstruction project, which is scheduled and it's already funded and scheduled for this next summer. One more piece of information before I take questions. We had $55,000was the estimate for the total project. And so we were asking 50-50 on that. We did get a couple more quotes between the time we submitted the application and now. We got a couple more quotes, which were actually a little bit lower at 42.5. Quotes came in exactly at 42.5. So it's quite possible that we haven't done a full RFP or anything like that. It's just close, but it's quite possible that the project will come in lower than what we requested.
But you're not reducing your request?
We could reduce our request, but we just barely got the other two quotes yesterday, so I wasn't exactly sure procedurally what we should be doing on that.
And as Candace is pointing out in my ear, the way we draw down the funds doesn't matter. We don't fund it appropriate amount. Question from the board? Oh, wow. Commissioner Potter.
You mentioned that you know, if you do this and you implement it, how are you going to fund the implementation? You know, obviously you're doing some road work now. How is that being funded?
So in order to implement the streets master plan, we needed $200,000 a year. That's a bit of a challenge for us. So we actually did a zero-based budgeting process and pretty much just scoured the heck out of our budget and pulled what we could from here and there. We did some personnel changes in order to facilitate that, and we just made it a high priority and did some good old-fashioned budget cutting to get the $200,000 rounded up. Another big chunk of that was we restructured our redevelopment area and reset the base on that. So that some of the increment that had been developed over time has been coming into our general fund. And that provided some of the money for it. I would anticipate that we just have to do that again, budget cuts. It kind of depends on how much it is, but you know, it's $50,000 a year or whatever that we need to set aside to implement the storm drain master plan. I think we can do some more budget cuts and get that money together.
See, and that's the reason for my question is that you've already scoured that and you've already made significant cuts. How much more of those can you make? Being in
Mission Board to come back to this board and give them those fees, you know, if this was approved, you wouldn't be looking at necessarily getting any type of grants in this situation. So does the study make sense? Yes, but how to implement it is my big question. You know, we don't want to just spend money for a plan that never gets implemented.
Right. You know, I think we'd be determined to find money just within our existing property tax and sales tax to do that. And I apologize, I couldn't hear you completely from that side of the service. So I hope I'm answering the question is that, you know, just as we were determined to fund the streets, it's simply a matter of priorities, and we did change our budgeting process in a way that helps us get there a little better. You know, it helps the council rather than just get a line item for, you know, for meetings, conference, travel, or whatever. Well, last year we spent this much. It's everything is all, every penny in the budget is tied to a strategy, and then the council prioritizes a strategy. So in the end, you can always just cut a strategy from the bottom, and that cuts away. But, you know, the needed budget to fund higher strategies initially.
Mr. Doyle, this
sounds like it's a little off track. My question is just real quick. So, is this part of the stormwater drain plan? Is that part of the TFA master schedule plan for the, you know, the whole city? And is that done? You'll often come in and see to be asking for, you know, an overall general plan.
General plan.
And the reason where I kind of get into it is, you know, stormwater is a big component, and I guess, a quick question. How big is Bryanhead population?
Just less than 100 people.
And where your water and sewer, how is that taken care of? It seems off track, but
yes, so
and it's almost along.
The town provides water and sewer. You know, that infrastructure has developed over time. You know, while we have 100 people, we sent out 1,400 utility bills. It's a lot of second homes.
So are you a septic or are you?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's a sewer.
Okay.
So,
that's all. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Doyle?
Yes.
Your motion?
I make a motion.
We approve that tonight. Councilor Carroll, the motion. We have the second from Commissioner Austin. Any further questions on the motion? All in favor, aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Harry. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I was trying to sit in the AC. You'll always see us on the front row and wherever we go to. And my name is Arthur LeBaron. I'm the city engineer for Hurricane City. And I brought my lovely wife with me, but I'm not going to ask her to sit at the table. We are applying for $50,000 in the planning grant money for transportation master plan update. And I want to thank Candace Powell for being so nice to me on the phone. And also Kyle Swar for coming down and reviewing, and Paul West for his help on getting on the agenda. So Hurricane City, have you been there? We have 52 square miles in our incorporated boundaries, and we're only about 10% built out, so we have a long way to go. And it's a big battle. I have my hands full. I'm a young city engineer, and so I expect to be there for a long time. I've seen a little bit of water going to the bridge, just enough to know how things go and how important the smart planning is. This master plan will be have a 2050 planning update. Planning horizon. And just a couple of facts about Hurricane. We've experienced a 4.2% growth rate over the last 10-year period. So that includes the recession. So right now we're in a boom until the growth rate is higher. This plan, we want to include all loans with travel. Our last update was just the road master plan. We do have a travel master plan, but it is not integrated into the road master plan, and I've seen some problems because of that. So that's one goal that I would like to accomplish. We need to plan for transit. We have a big push in our area for a transit line between St. George and Springdale, and currently there's a study going on. I don't know if you've heard about Zion National Park and the astronomical growth that they've experienced, but Springdale, you can't even go park there. So I believe that we will see this transit line come through, and we need to work with UDOT to plan for the transit stops that we'll have the hurricane along the way. As far as funding is concerned, we've already secured $50,000 from the Dixie Metropolitan Planning Organization, and this has been vetted through the advisory committee and also the executive council. So all the mayors in the area and the commissioners are on board, as well as UDOT. The city has a $4,000 match that we're proposing to put up, and we have worked with Utah State Parks. We have two Utah State Parks in our town, Quail Creek Reservoir and also St. Paul State Park, wonderful venues. But we've actually been working with them on implementation of our trail master plan, so we've secured funding from them for actual trail construction. And we have a forest preservation fund in Washington County, and it's a great opportunity for us to preserve corridors, but if we don't have a solid plan that has strong political backing, it does us no good. So we really need to get this master plan update underway, and I'd like to entertain any questions you have.
Thank you, Arthur. We'll go to the board for questions.
By way of disclosure, I sit on the Dixie MPO board, so I'm aware of this cash allocation that's been submitted and approved. Also, welcome to UDOT. We know the challenges that they have with the hurricane. Ironman and also Christmas games using the facilities that Mr. Rivera is referring to. During those events, congestion is very high. This is just control congestion that's just traffic. I've been in the volunteer position for those two events, and I know personally they need that facility. So, of course, last three meetings in the Dixie MPO, we have discussed this transition between. Transportation between St. George and Springdale, which is an effect of that community also. With all the information, I'm not making a motion to approve it as requested.
Second. We have a motion from Mr. Benatti and a second from Commissioner Madison. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'm opposed.
Thank you, Commissioner Potter. I can see you. Mr. Potter, opposed? Motion carries. That will be placed on the priority list for funding in February. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.
The Six County Services Coalition has postponed their application to a future date, most likely December. Apparently, the state of Colorado couldn't be here today. No, I'm sorry, that wasn't supposed to be. Wellington City. Is also there to be placed on the future agenda. The next project is up for special consideration. In order for the board to hear this project, we require a vote of the board. So the chair will entertain a motion if the board is interested in hearing this request.
I'll make a motion for this.
Thank you, Mr. Galecki. Second. Mr. Farrell. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? At this point, we invite Roosevelt City to come tell us about the request.
My name is Ryan Snow. I'm the city manager for Roosevelt City.
On my left is Troy Orwell, our city councilman, and Byron Coleman, our engineer. And our original project was to improve our water system with from our tanks to our distribution system. With Synergy that was working with Neola and other cost saving measures, we came in under budget. And the additional scope of this project is to connect from the tank, from the Victory tank, into our water distribution system. It consists of 3,200 feet of 16-inch pipe, and we provide water. So this water that is coming from Victory and will connect through this will be the source of water for the Cedar View Montville Special Service District, as well as Roseville City. And the side of the pipe will allow for the future connection, at least at this length of the pipe, for the future connection of power. When and if they choose to come on, this would be sized appropriately so they could draw water through that portion of the system. We take any questions.
So, is this a different project than what we originally heard, or is there a connection between the budget?
If you don't mind, I'll answer that question. Physically, location is quite a bit. Quite a ways away from where the Hayden Waterline project was located. But in intent and purpose, this project does mean the same thing. What's happened is with the Victory Pipeline, the tank that's been installed at the end of the Victory Pipeline, Roseville City finally has a second water supply that's available to us. Up until now, we have been pretty much isolated in the sense that we have our Hayden well field. The Hayden Waterline replacement project was to connect the well field with town, more or less. This project, while at a different location, would perform the same function on behalf of Roseville City in the sense that it brings water from the Victory tank, or what Roseville City refers to as the West Cove tank, and connects that water source into the Roseville City system. Okay. So answering your question, it's a different location, but the intent for the function of this project is consistent with what the Hayden Waterline project was.
Why was it not part of the original project application?
As with the Hayden job?
Yeah.
At that point, Candace was the Hayden in 2013?
Yes.
I believe it was in 2013. We did not have a location or even a tank online or even being discussed at that time with the Victory Pipeline.
Right. Further questions from the board? Commissioner McKee.
Thank you. Commissioner Winterton couldn't be here today because of other conflict, but just did this come before the Innovation Association government? The association government fully endorsed and supported this project. And I do think it's a valuable project. Including the finances, we're not adding any additional finance, allowing us to utilize some funding that they had left over. But the connection between that and the different pipeline to be able to tie this all together, I think it's a great idea. So I just like to go on record supporting the project.
I'm curious to know where the Victory Pipeline is at this stage. Is it beginning, middle, or end of the?
Either way. It's actually one of the big reasons why this is why we're here today. Their word to us is that the tank will be filled by the end of this month, and they're in a position where at least the. They're going to charge the city for the water, whether we can take it or not. And so, in preparation for that time frame, the project has been designed, the project has been put out to bid. We received bids on Tuesday. The budget seemed consistent with the amount of money that we have left.
No.
And we would hope to have notice received by the 15th of this month, and a 60-day duration, so that we could have this up in operation in 60 days, so that we're ready to take that water on.
You're not asking for any new money?
No.
This is money that you had left over?
We had left over. And quite honestly, I'll give kudos where they belong. You, back in 2013, I don't know how many of you were on the board back then, but there were two projects that came in. Roosevelt had the Hayden Waterline project, and Neola had a waterline system project. And your, you know, province, you said, you know what, you guys need to be together, and you'll save money, because you're in the same trench, you're in the same alignment. And that's where this funding came from, because we did get joined in it, we cooperated, we worked together, and we just realized the savings.
As an aside, that was a good idea at the time. It turned out to be an administrative nightmare for the staff. Commissioner, Councilor Trout.
Did I understand you say this would be a second source of water for Roosevelt City? Or is this off the same source?
No, yes, sir. It's a new source. Yeah, the Victory Pipeline comes from the Starvation Treatment Plant. Runs on Starvation, brings water through the Victory Pipeline to the tank and West Coast tank. And we would now be able to bring that water into the system.
Can I explain why that's so important, if I can, or would you like to? Why don't you explain why that's so important?
Well, you know, the participation of Roosevelt City in the Victory Pipeline, I think, is critical to the success of that project. And we need the ability to be able to take that water and put it to use. And right now, with where the tank's located and that kind of thing, we need this 3,200 feet of pipe to be able to effectively bring that water, not, you know, not only in the amounts that we currently have today, but future amounts that we may want to draw, be able to bring that in and supplement the Hayden well field that we've exclusively really lived upon for the last 25 plus years.
Is Hayden a dependable source of water?
It is. Yeah, it is, but on the, you know, like most towns, when we go into those growth cycles and we start to see peak summer days and those kind of things, there's only so much we can pump out of the ground, as dependable as it is. When our peak flow is three times higher than what we can pump out of the ground, we run into problems.
Actually, that was the point that I wanted to make, the importance of that water source, because if there are limited sources, and climate, the other source of water is chickens that are moving forward in the future.
Correct me if you have a question, we'll go to Richard.
Yeah, real quick. So that's just really, it's increasing their storage. And so these funds are, since grant is used first.
Loan gets used first.
Oh, loan gets used first.
Yeah.
So this would be grant money.
And just continue using the funding source they have.
That's right.
Mr. Chair, this is not an administrative question. My packet had pages that were double printed and out of order. Did anybody else have issues with their packet? This is unique to me.
Yeah,
I have three pages on this request. Is that all that is? Because it's a completely separate project. I don't think we would typically have so little information on a completely new project, would we?
You have the map and you have the history of where they came up with this money. Your approval for them to use the remainder of the money we already approved to do what's on
the. Oh, it was already approved for a totally different project.
Yeah.
Right? That's just kind of a question, I guess. To me, this is a totally new request. We have a memo and a map.
Request for change of scope generally comes with a letter.
I assume that you've already reviewed and approved all the bonding for that. Let's go to Commissioner Potter and then we'll give you some time.
One of the considerations as a board we may want to look at is we had the same situation come up with 9 Mile and the road and particularly the salt sheds. So we had money left over in a project. We came back and said we need to change the scope and add these. But as a board at that point in time, we then adopted the same lending structure that it was because it was enough of a change. So in this case, if we were to consider something like that, there would be a portion of grant, but also be a portion of zero to
administrative nightmare?
Beyond. And, and they would have to come up with another $10,000 in order to bond for a little bit of this. The remainder of Nine Mile Canyon is like $1 million.
It would also have the cost of that water. So, out of the 10,000, we have 30,000 in water for the delay and that other 45 days to be public to know. So, we have that as well.
Let's go to Mr. Sinati.
I was just trying to clarify the change of scope is not changing term of the original contract, which was 15 years, 0% low. Because if we had any changes beyond that, we would go back and apply the new mode and new brands. But it's just the conclusion of the use of the same money is allocated back then.
Just by way of explaining, when you authorize a project for part grant, part loan, the loan is always spent first. So irregardless of what is left in there, and then theoretically we would recapture the money back, which they've been very creative and we don't generally get to do that. Or they use the rest of it because the remainder is grant. If there are other funding sources that participated in the project, quote that, quote, you know, as it did pro bono. Yes, or not pro bono. Pro rata.
Yeah.
So if Drinking Water had put in some money, they'd get back some of that grant. They wouldn't be here asking us to do this because we'd have to give money back to Drinking Water.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, this, so if it was a $5 million project and it's a $500,000 loan, this $300,000 that we're looking at is all grants here.
Okay, that's all. Commissioner McKee.
Mr. Chairman, with that, I would move to approve the request and approve the change of scope as proposed.
Thank you, Mr.
McKee. I'll second that.
Thank you, Councilman Farrell. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Now you don't have to pay for water you can't use.
Someone now, I need a bid and a description of what will be done.
Sure. Please work with the staff. So, to address your damages concerns about his board packet, at the request of board member Donati, the staff has been looking into alternatives to producing a volume for the Library of Congress every month. So, Ms. Powers, would like to tell us.
He has utilized a tool called iLegislate with UDOT packages. And so Keith and I, in lieu of him explaining it a little bit better than we will, we took a little tutorial on this product and have received back a cost associated with it. But what it does is it provides a board package that is searchable online, so you don't have to bring your whatever's, your tablet, your that, you know, whatever iPad or anything you have, and by you bringing that tool, you wouldn't have all this paper. You would have separate links to each application, and the motions could be listed in there, and it's really quite good. There are other tools. He will explain this. They came back with a cost estimate. First year net cost would be $9,600 to have a license to do that. Adobe Acrobat has a system also to do this, and they want $14.99 a month. But that is not as user friendly. iLegislate, it's called, has an agenda tool, so everything would be digitized if the board wanted to go that direction. I think it's a really good idea to look at, and we'd have to still look into getting three different bids because it is over $1,000, you know, do it yourself. The, you know, we'd have to go through the state, but with that, I will use Adobe, but it's this iLegislate tool that I was really quite impressed with. Of course, so was the guy showing it to us.
Well, let me just give you the background of how this came about. My confirmation was sent about the April 4th day. That day is not a joke. And then I show up a week after for my meeting. It was a split workshop, 3 days workshop with you guys. The very first finding they gave me was about 4 times size of this. And then by the second day, we had another binder the same size. And I thought, how in the world anybody can read this? And how can they even find out what is in it? And then, of course, by the third day, we had revisions to some of those already packaged because numbers changed. Questions that we asked here, if there's a revision. So immediately I made my calculation. I was a civil engineer by profession. I made some calculation. I know that some of you concerned about that some of the numbers are being exaggerated or not accurate. But I figured out $1,500 per individual per year cost to have those binders made. Just print and ink. Forget about the manpower. Forget about the shredding, the waste. So I came back and looked some solutions. My first solution was the Google Drive. It was a free application. Why couldn't we use it? Why couldn't we just have every one of us have an iPad or similar device to use? And so the very first month, right after that, we used the Google Drive. And believe it or not, everybody was so happy. Then the meeting I had with the Washington, D.C. with some of the senators, I noticed that they also use different systems. I legislated from Grand Cass County. And I went up there personally, tried it, and I noticed that it was very user-friendly, according to what the attempt said. And I tried and tried several different applications, and I come back and approach the UDOT, and then we put that system in. Believe me, it is the best thing ever. The savings, the application itself, that I'm sure you've seen some of the details on the blue sheet that what you can do. We're not going to go that deep on any of our applications because it is just so much awesome. We use system, for example, how beautiful this will be. If we take this today's agenda home, next one coming in, how many are going to remember to bring it back? How many are going to refer to it if any kind of changes? If we get a memo from Canada say that, by the way, there was a revision, are you going to find that place and put that particular memo in the right place? With this, you have 12 months of history. And unless you delete it, it will stay there until you go back and delete. I usually try to keep 6 months of the history of the meeting. And the minute I get come to the meeting today, and so they say, last month in UDOT, we decided, I think, oh, last month, so we pick up it because none of us have remembered. Yes.
Can you highlight
and
take notes?
You can take it all, you can have a memo, send it. If one of the constituents is calling you, Commissioner Keith, what did you decide on that particular meeting at the CIB? You go up there and say, give me your email. This is a public meeting. They're entitled to public information. We broadcast. They know the minutes. But you, as a commissioner, you can send that particular paragraph, highlight it, and you can also say additional promotion if you want to know. It's already reflected. You add minutes. You add pictures if you want to take a picture of the road that you see in the project. You can add that one to it. Testimonial if you want to. But the opportunity is there to go back into all kinds of digital technology rather than, oh, I need to go home and scan the page and find the page if it is. And of course, these get stripped so quickly, nobody keeps it for reference. The cost, go ahead.
Oh, I said it either.
Go ahead, please.
I was going to say, you know, I really love what you have discovered because I'm on two other boards that I can use electronic media for meetings, but nothing like what you're describing.
This is amazing technology.
Because, you know, what I'm used to is just simply being able to read what we do here, which is, I still like it. I love being able to have that digitally, but to be able to do what you're describing, to be able to put notes, to be able to capture, you know, all those different kinds of things, for me would be, I would really welcome that.
This, you know, the pages we copy over here, there's only 8 had 12 bowls, they didn't have by 17 sheep, and there were 35, 40 of those.
You shrink them.
Yes. But with this, you just pinch and enlarge. You don't have to go magnifying glass or whatever. You don't have to worry about the numbers that, what are the numbers? What was the last time somebody, can we make it any smaller terms? Because numbers where you can do that chart, you can shrink it, you can enlarge it, you can go the next day, and just easy does it.
I think it was naughty. 6 or 7 years ago, we tried putting everything in electronic format so people could use their PC or their iPad or whatever, tablet. The problem we had is board members couldn't maneuver. For example, someone says, well, in our financials, we show that we've only got $5 million. So everyone's be trying to find that and then go back to the application. It just wasn't very navigable.
This one has talked about Adobe, and I have already tried 5 different applications. None of them comes to either of these organizations. They have done all the stuff for this purpose. The number, the chart, the digits, everything is just perfect. Nothing. So far, I haven't yet to see any kind of malfunction in our system. I've been using it for 4 years now. We only used 1 month of the Google Drive converted to this one. Yes, it costs a little money, but I assure you, you're going to get your money back within 1 year and plus. The fact that, of course, for those of you who don't use the iMessage, the iPad or iPhone, any of those smartphones or iPad, you can still get the memo from Canvas, the same format. You can still print it if you wish, or she can print any of the binder, because it is not all be able to use that if they don't.
It doesn't have to be on a Mac, that is Windows.
Any kind of
smart device.
So do you wind up creating a packet and then scanning it and then putting it? Do you still create at least one packet? And then it's just scanned in and put into the various tabs?
No. If this tool were used, each application would have a different tab and it would be in there a little differently. So it wouldn't be a core packet. Would we still create one? Well, we certainly could. But it costs about, on average, we have probably averaged about $300 a month on printing for this package.
So is every data element searchable?
Yeah.
So search for a dollar amount, search for an order. It's all searchable.
Okay. This is about last month's information we have. I wish we could have this slide we can show you. So this one start with the opening, introduction, and the recordings. What we do. And then come back and say, okay, public hearing. If there's a public hearing, we ask people to come in. This case, we ask each individual council people to come in. And then we come back and scoreboard, which is all kinds of digitized digital numbers. And beyond that, we go to finances. And we go back and talk to all the projects, STEP programs from each community, region 1 through region 4. And then, of course, we come back and do each individual roadway. I mean, it is just beautifully tab number, section 6A to 6 9, and 1, 2, 3, 10.
Yeah, they have specifically set up UDOT for what they do. So they have created their software. They would create our software specifically for what this meeting and this board does.
Sorry, I need to run on this parade of the legal announcement. So just a reminder that state procurement law does not allow you to take a preferred project and buy it with over this amount of money. You have to do an objective and open to competition procurement process to procure something that both meets your specifications and has a lower cost. So, let's appreciate your enthusiasm for this potential project. The board can vote to buy it.
This is just the recommendation I brought to him because I saw so much waste through the paperwork, ink, or labor.
I vote we buy it. Just for you.
So we will ask for, the bids on, but it will be specific to these kinds of offered tools, and if somebody else can come in lower and do
the first thing I can do an RFI to find out what kind of systems are out there. It sounds like you have done your own independent RFI, but doesn't have to use a competitive and fair process to procure these
So the
chat. Commissioner McKee is.
So, and actually, the truth is, kind of, I've seen that, but this may end up being a, you know, it may be the only company that actually provides, when we develop the scope of what we're wanting, it may be the only company that does it. It may not be, but that's what the RFI would determine for us. You know, we can do that. So I mean,
another option is to look into whether the Department of Purchasing would like to buy something like this on a statewide contract or buy a number of different entities like this so that all government stores can use it.
Yeah, which I think is the better idea.
I mean,
and that's what it is.
Now, we have to convince.
You don't use the state purchasing power to do the best deal.
Right, exactly.
And that's why they provide the minimum opportunity. Those people that have their own iPads, they will not use their own iPads, they wish to do that. The state should still also have a stamp of their approval. There's a security that state puts on them because they're state products and property.
But I think it's a great idea. I appreciate you looking into this personally. I love this. I love the broader discussion because not only would that be helpful to this board, but and whether it's this company or somebody else, it's fine. But I think the ability to be able to do this on all boards, the value to that could be quite enormous. And under state contract, I think this ought to be looked at even deeper. I just hope we don't have to take too long to get there. Let's go to the commission.
So I assume it's not a function of which software to choose because you set up the bidding process and the staff to do it. Is the only question is whether the board is amenable to the electronic version?
Kimberly?
Yeah, I have a question. Is this straight at the back web page?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So the state legislature using a similar software to use your information. So I think there might already be something in state contract a vendor we can work with. So I think that I'm probably more quicker than you. And then in terms of hardware equivalent, that's already in state contract. So if there's anybody with web page, you have a website that you're already going to use.
From the timber, paper, and pulp industry that would like to comment. Commissioner McKee, just one other question, too. You know, as we talk about procurement, in, for example, UNA County, our policy is if anything is over $20,000, is when we have to take it out to bid. My question I have here at CID. Is this a CID policy or is this a state policy?
It's a state. This is called the state
procurement code. And right. Everything that we do here, are we required to follow state procurement? Can we develop our own?
Yes.
Okay, that was the question.
And the threshold is at the state
level. Mr. Hardy?
The cost of purchasing the license will not be the only cost. Just not that it'll be that much more expensive, but we have a Department of Technology Services that's going to manage our relationship with any software that we use. So there will be some added ongoing costs, and we can help get that information by the time the decision needs to be made. But that's another internal cost that will not be part of an actual bid, but will be associated.
That could be accommodated through admin.
What?
Could be accommodated through admin.
We would be charged, an additional cost that we would be charged that we're not paying already. We'd have to determine, well, we can get that information, but once we get through this process, we'll have to add that cost in so that the board knows what amount of funding is being spent on it.
Can I
answer?
Do you know if this application has a different master license and so many seats have a certain price level, would we have to pay for a license for each device?
No,
so
we don't have a package deal.
Is there a certain number of seats that come with it?
No.
I assume we need the application on our devices, right?
Yeah. We have, no, not that I know of. It's the software that they will create the tool and we can download on any device.
If it's a web-based system, usually you can just link from any internet-enabled device. There isn't a specific specific application would necessarily mean. We'll have to look into it for sure.
Any other physical bidder?
Yes, but you know, we have several types of software that we, the number of users to access is unlimited.
It doesn't sound like a thin client application to me. I could be wrong.
They have so many tools. You can look it up on the Granicus website for this particular one. But they do them specific to what a board does. So it becomes
a thin client application for you.
No software on your device. It's completely web.
No, but that.
Listen, there is. We better hope we always have Wi-Fi everywhere we meet, like in Monticello, or do we
but
have
you
Wi-Fi?
Can download it on your device. I think that that's, you have it on
your device. When you get the information, you just push the download button, and then those downloads will become live on your screen. So unless there is a submission right after the meeting, one page or two page, then you have to have a Wi-Fi to get that particular page. But most of the places we meet, like the city council, commission chambers, and all, always have a Wi-Fi. And it doesn't require that much power at all, just a minimum.
Even with Acrobat, you need a reader, you need the application, right? So I think it's probably a thick client application, and you've got to have something that can make something on the machine.
Commissioner McKee, good point. Assuming this board is in favor of doing this, I would like to make a suggestion we do as we move forward with that. You know, if we just simply were to say in an RFI, we're looking for an electronic version, you know, we could have all kinds of things. But I would suggest that we ask Mr. Canale to work closely with staff so that our RFI is specific to it, you know, to the profession that we're looking for, so that we can have that specific enough to be able to do that. Because otherwise, we may not end up with what we're looking for when we actually try to procure that. We could end up with some kind of electronic meeting type thing that may not be what we're looking for. Like I said, I did five of my own to find out which one is the user friendly for our purpose. Also, the notes that you can take. In the bottom of this particular screen, you can have different accounts added. Two people can use if they're going to be shared on iPad. You can have the videos. You can have the audios. You can have ideas we talked about. You can put your information in. Once you fill the bottom one particular application thing in, you can also have the notes highlighted. You can bookmark it, certain items in the agenda for the future reference. If you want to discuss when you go back to your commission, to your community, so I just put on here what to discuss. It was important to me with my community. You can add, of course, every one of these items have attachments. So there will be five to seven colorful pages you want. It is just a beautiful system, but the fact that it saves a lot of time and suffering pages, try to find out where you are in the system. Mr. Glickman?
Which I think David brought up is a good question. So at the meetings, would everybody, I assume it's all electronic, we have to bring our own laptop
or state issue.
Okay, that's my primary one. And the one comment is that I like the idea of it, but I'm archaic enough that the note page that you do, I would still want that.
It will be there.
But, and then I'll print it out.
Whatever agenda the superintendent.
Why are you going to print it out?
That part is because I prefer my notes written.
You can. And also, the stylus work on it. So you can add your own notes with the stylus or finger, depends on the what device you have, or just push notes up to them and add to them. It's just easy, very easy and user friendly. I mean, I have used it, I'm so happy. And we have a lot of here on the board from the UDOT and the two other boards like you, but they're going to use the same. They have a lot of CO, we don't want you because, but once they use it, nobody brings any more binders, no one brings any kind of printing material.
Kimberly?
Just want to provide a little bit of institutional knowledge in the meeting. In terms of administrative funding being available to them, as far as the cash that we can take up, the board can take for administration up to 2% of new revenues for administration. We have been significantly below that historically for the last 20 years ago. And at the Heathrow, it's proportionally for the, we had fairly flat budgets and proportionally far less than what we're entitled to see. So there is still
just an RFI. I think RFIs add to the cost and the administrative overhead of the process. Do you have a pretty good idea of what it is you need? And given the level of specificity that we're gaining from Mr. Zanotti, I think that the RFI, that decision as to whether or not to use a formal RFI should be left to staff. I'm a big fan of having these informal conversations with vendors that I know to be in the ballpark. And if I feel I can get to where I can do an RFP based on those informal conversations, it can be a lot more efficient. And I would leave that to staff as far as how they proceed, whether they do an RFI before an RFP or just go to an RFP, leave that to them. I would suggest.
Any other instructions for staff?
I just have one more question.
Okay, let's go to Commissioner McKee and then we'll have to wrap up.
Just a question I would have. My concern is, in particular at the RFP level, I don't care if it goes straight from RFP. I mean, I really don't. My only concern would be if we don't have specificity, would be that if we're staying in a, if we're not very specific, we're saying we want a program that will do electronic meetings. And essentially, that's what we said. We're not going to be getting what we're looking for. And in particular, if we get to a point where it's a competitive bid, something like that will not cost, you probably get that for free, go into Dropbox, or that any of those. So,
there are purchasing agents who I'm sure are trying to work with the assistant and help whoever they put in charge of this, make sure that the scope of work is sufficient.
Well, I suspect Candace has done this, but the process typically within the state is you go to purchasing, as has been suggested, say purchasing. What existing contracts do we have for this type of technology?
I just did a quick search, by the way, at Grand, because that name has not come up under the statewide cooperative contract. All it could be that under another name.
Right.
Parent company.
I legislate.
Small I, capital L.
Commissioner Ogden, do you have a question? I'm just wondering if I could use this on my private server and my
server.
Oh.
do we have a map of the legal button?
Universal.
So what I surmise is the board is amenable to
digitizing. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Just one more. If you just tell the clients or the IDEX people, which they told me that if you have already state agency working from your state, they're working with you to give you discounts and also work to customize whatever you want. But all you have to do is present them with a package. It's just a physical package you do every month. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of information we share every month to follow. They just need to come back and give you the template and say this is exactly what you have for you. You're sufficient, you want to add anything, you just add it.
UDLT uses this, Susan, so you didn't find that other place.
Even the legislature can independent through units or outside of purchasing. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we couldn't work. I mean, the statewide cooperative purchasing contract allows all state entities from the state independent and local government entities to use it. So we just need to make some policies for purchasing people.
Next item on our agenda is the professional services expense and applicant responsibility. And as you'll recall, last month we had a significant conversation about the engineering fees and talking about the professional services. We discussed the option of hiring a consultant that we do with DEQ. The sentiment seemed to be that was a little bit expensive, perhaps prohibitively expensive. One suggestion that came out of staff following that meeting is simply that we need to put that onus back on the applicant. So if this board had a policy, for example, that we did not fund professional engineering or professional services outside of a loan, then again, that responsibility falls back to the applicant, and they're going to be a lot more careful because it's coming out of their pocket. Something that I think we need to continue to think about and explore, perhaps we can have a sufficient discussion, but something for you to chew on over the next several months as these projects come forward, you can say, okay, if we had such a policy, would that work? Other ideas following last month's discussion that anyone would like to time, I'm not sure we want to have a lengthy discussion, but we'll have a...
I guess, like what you're saying, that would that be an ethic project, or would there, you know, like the unseen services, you mentioned $100 and something an hour, is that what you're discussing?
Last month we had a proposal for the review engineer, and it's $140 an hour. It's just like, man, we really want to do that. I mean, we tried using UDOT this last year in that consulting type role, and we weren't really seeing the benefits from that for the cost. The return on investments wasn't there. Concerned that, you know, maybe that's not the right approach when this really should be something the applicants are dealing with when it comes to procurement.
So how does the applicant, so you said the applicant, I just want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly. So the applicant, if it was a grant, or if any kind of a loan grant mix?
We wouldn't cover engineering.
We never grant for engineering.
That would be the proposal.
That would be the applicant's responsibility.
Oh, okay. You said I didn't understand that.
So if they're paying for it, then they're going to make sure they're getting the best value. So anyway, not asking for a lengthy discussion again, just food for thought. Another idea is we go through this, how do we better control this, and then maybe when we get to the retreat in a few months, we can say, well, does that work? Is there a comment? Okay. Again, Kimberly, I guess she's left the room. Good, she's working. We appreciate, again, her decades of service to this board, her institutional knowledge we need in.
Who will be taking this?
We don't know.
Because you know what, if I can, just to brag on Kimberly for a minute, she has been doing this at least for 14 years, because that's how long I got to be on this board at this point. You know what she, but anyway, Kimberly has done such a good job there, and that's just managing that money that comes from the federal, you know, and the Middle East money, and believe me, we make all kinds of calls and different things, but to manage that account is, you know, I think it's just somebody else is trying to get up to speed on that, and I just think we need to let her know how much we appreciate everything she's done there, because that's not a...
Candace is getting all that down. Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. As a reminder, the Red Cliffs is part of our deal here, is offering a hot lunch. My experience is that it's generally pretty good. And the view is even better, as you probably all know. And it looks like it's a nice sunny day, so you can sit on the patio, have some good conversation. So I encourage you to make a few minutes and try to squeeze that in. Our next meeting, Candace, is December 8th at
our building.
It's 1385 South State.
It's the second Thursday. When it's the second Thursday, we can't get the DEQ building.
The construction should be quieter by then, though. I'm not going to commit that they'll be completely finished, but nearing completion, so hopefully it will be quieter.
I just have one more comment. I'm not going to be too worried. I will worry that Kimberly's leaving, but Brenda Brown knows what Kimberly does, and she's been the interface for all of CIB's dollars and numbers and stuff. She's provided the graphs that I send you and all that stuff. So we're still in good hands.
Agreed.
Thank you, Brenda.
Wholeheartedly. Any other board business? Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion carried.
It's nice to come down here too.
Oh, yeah. Next meeting is a Christmas lunch as well. So, what, bring
stuff? So we can't accuse you of not feeding as well.
Yeah.